Gospel reading today comes from the third chapter of John. I'll be reading verses 1 through 17. This is a very familiar text to many of us, but I invite you to follow along in the Bible, should you choose, because I'm not that great to look at, so it'll give you a couple minutes where you don't have to look at me. You weren't supposed to laugh there, I'll just let you know. Your timing is off today, let me tell you. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Hear now the words of the Lord. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and we testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but shall have everlasting life." And this verse that all of us know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever shall believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." This has been the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I do want to let you know that the bulletin that we use for me is a guideline. So I may sway before the service is over. So just go with the flow. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever shall believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life." For the time that is ours to share this afternoon or this morning, I want to talk from the subject of God's love has no limits. This conversation found here in John chapter 3 is one that is very critical for our understanding and for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives. This conversation was between Jesus and another man who was not a disciple. This man was not an apostle. This man was a teacher of the law. This man was one who gave leadership to the people of God for the things of God. This conversation was between Jesus and a man by the name of Nicodemus. And out of this conversation comes a crown jewel of the gospel Out of this conversation came the Hope Diamond of the gospel. For in the scriptures, we learn that Nicodemus came to Jesus under the cloak of darkness. He appeared to Jesus in the middle of the night to make inquiries of Jesus as to the things of God. And it is in this conversation where Jesus made the declaration that almost every believer comes to learn his or her early spiritual maturation. And that is verse 16 of John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And Nicodemus started off in verse 2 giving Jesus a compliment. He says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs or these miracles that you do unless God is with him. And what did Jesus do? He disregarded the compliment. Now, all of you who are mothers know that one of the first things you teach your children is how to be polite and say, thank you, or I appreciate that. And you know, Mother Mary taught Jesus better than that. But Jesus did not say thank you. Jesus did not say, I appreciate that. No, he disregarded the compliment altogether because Jesus wanted to get to something that was more critical. Nicodemus came to Jesus with things that were earthly. But Jesus turned around and gave Nicodemus some insight into things that were spiritual. Nicodemus wanted to deal with the temple, but Jesus wanted to deal with the eternal. Now, Nicodemus knew the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, very well. He was able to teach it with excellence. But with all his knowledge of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, it did not equate to the love that God has lavished upon each and every one of us. And Jesus reduced all of those things of those five books of the Torah. And all of the things that Nicodemus was an expert in, Jesus reduced them all to one subject, one theme. And that theme was love. And for those moments that Jesus spoke with Nicodemus under the cloak of darkness, it was as if Nicodemus was enrolled in night school, and Jesus was a teacher, and Nicodemus was the only student in the class. And the dialogue changed from a question and answer format to one which was a monologue. And in this monologue, Jesus lets Nicodemus know about the love of God that has no limits. As Joan Rivers used to say, can we talk? While most of us, if not all of us, understand something about John 3:16, allow me to try to expand our understanding just a little bit. For there is some profundity and some depth in John 3:16 that I believe should not be overlooked. To the veteran Christian, to those who've been walking with the Lord for some time, this may be encouragement, it may be refreshing. For the novice believer, this may be joyful jubilation. For those who may not know the Lord yet, this may be hope for the days to come. But for all of us, it should bring a smile to our faces. For all of us, it should put a little pep in our step as we leave here today. As Jesus is teaching Nicodemus and talking to him about being born again, Jesus says that no one can enter his mother's womb a second time. And Nicodemus wants to ask about that because he was still trying to deal with natural things. But Jesus was trying to get Nicodemus to look at spiritual things. And from verses 3 all the way down to verse 21, Jesus helps this brother understand some things about God that can help us as we pursue a closer walk with our Lord. And in the midst of this conversation, Jesus inserts this crown jewel, this hope diamond of the gospel, whereas we can understand some things about the love of God. If you will allow me over the next few minutes to share three things. that should help us understand the limitless and the bottomless love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing that Jesus helps us understand about the love of the Lord is that God's love is both impressive and inclusive. God's love is both impressive and inclusive. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world." That's both impressive and inclusive. I love the breadth, the width, the depth, and the height of this expansive love that the Lord has given us. And when Jesus speaks to that love, he uses a term that we know as agape love, which is an unconditional, indescribable, impenetrable, and imperishable, love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus speaks of this love that has no boundaries and no conditions attached to it. He talks about this love, which is not only an affectionate love, but it's also a decisional love. For God chooses to love you and I, even though we don't deserve the love that God lavishes upon us. And can we be honest and testify that there have been some times in our lives when we weren't the most lovable people in the world? Okay, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the person sitting next to you or behind you or in front of you, but not you. I'm definitely talking about myself. Maybe the songwriter knew what he was talking about when he says that he looked beyond my faults and found my needs. And the amazing thing is that God doesn't need us to love him back for him to love us first. God doesn't wait for us to get our act together for him to love us. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died to demonstrate God's love for us. That's impressive. That's inclusive. The text helps us to understand that this unconditional, indescribable, impenetrable, imperishable love that God has for us is not just for, and wait for it, church folk. It's not just for Bible-toting, scripture-quoting, hand-waving, psalm-singing, foot-stomping saints like you and I. But the love that God has is for the world. That term "for the world" literally means those who are antagonistic towards the things of God. God not only loves those of us who come to church every Sunday and sit in our favorite seats. He not only loves those who volunteer in church ministries, teach Sunday school, do children worship, sing in the choir, and visit the sick. He also loves those who never think about setting a foot inside anybody's church. God is different from us. Some of us may only want to love those who love us back, or those who do right by us. But God wants to show love to everyone because he has created us in his image, and he has compassion for us. For God so loved the world. That's inclusive. My God, your God, our God, loves us in spite of us. And not only that, but God's love is also expressive and exclusive. Now, wait a minute, I just said impressive and inclusive, and now I'm telling the opposite, expressive and exclusive, making sure you're awake. The text says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's expressive and that's exclusive. Let me explain. We can give without loving, but it's hard to love without giving. We can give without loving, but it's hard to love without giving. For those of you who are on Twitter, tweet that out later, okay? It's less than 140 characters. God wanted to show to mankind that he gave us not just any somebody, But he gave us a rare and unique and exclusive gift in the person of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. When God got ready to redeem us and to save us and to ransom us from the hands of the enemy, he didn't just go get a prophet who was born of any mother and father. He didn't just go get one of the angels who's flying around saying, "Holy, holy, holy." God decided to deposit his own self in human flesh and allow himself to dwell among us, and we beheld his glory. John 1, verse 14. God's love is exclusive. Now, I want to spare you the large Greek word that they teach in seminary, but it basically means that when God got ready to send someone to save you and I, he deposited his essence, his nature, his DNA in human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. And when we look at Jesus, we are looking at the Father. When we hear from Jesus, we are hearing from the Father. When we experience Jesus, we are experiencing the Father. Jesus was given to us so that he might save us, might redeem us, might get us back to where we, mankind, were supposed to be. Jesus is that expressed gift of God. For God doesn't just possess love. He expresses love. And he expressed it to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Because mankind had fallen away from God, and God wanted to give us an avenue by which we can get back to where we were supposed to be. God's love is expressive. The problem was that sin had built a gulf between God and God's people, and the regular human being could not fill that gap. So God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, and placed him between God's holiness and our sinfulness. And the reason that you and I have an opportunity to get back to God is that God provided a bridge in the person of Jesus Christ, therefore reconciling the world back to him. If we would embrace his Son. He refused to let us go out by our own devices. He refused to let us go out by our own silliness. He refused to let us go out by our own foolishness. He refused to let us go out through our own sin without giving us a way to get back to him. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus provided to us that bridge over troubled water that Simon Garfunkel talks about. Jesus provides a bridge over sin. Jesus provides a bridge over separation, over struggle, over tragedy. Jesus provides a bridge to us so that we will have a direct link to get back to a holy God. And because of that love, because of God's love, he allows himself to be sacrificed. Forgive me, I won't look at my watch. So you won't. Jesus was sacrificed because he was the only one who was sacrificial. He was the only one who met the criteria. Moses couldn't do it. Abraham couldn't do it. Job couldn't do it. Rebecca couldn't do it. Only Jesus could do it. And he was able to bring us to a point where our sinfulness could be covered by God's holiness. He loves us too much to just leave us in our sin. He wants you and I to be with him through eternity. Closing on my last point, God's love is both comprehensive and conclusive. Comprehensive and conclusive. For God so loved the world, that's both impressive and inclusive, that he gave his only begotten Son. That's expressive and exclusive. That whoever shall believeth in him, that's comprehensive. Shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. That, my friends, is conclusive. Whoever God wants to make sure that no one is left out. Whoever, or whosoever, some translation use, means anyone who would turn and point their gaze towards God. And I like that because it means that we don't have to be of a certain social economic status. It doesn't matter what gender we are. It doesn't matter what race we are. It doesn't matter who our parents are or who our parents are not. It doesn't matter what baggage we are carrying around. It doesn't matter what skeletons we are hiding in our closets. Once again, I'm talking about the person around you. It doesn't matter what the sin issue was that we dealt with in the past or what we are dealing with at the current time. The word whosoever means you too. Whosoever believes in him. This is encouraging to me. I suspect to some of you as well. And I say that because some folks that some of us may know who have been in church for years like to put conditions and qualifiers on this term, whoever. Those are the modern day Pharisees. The ones who walk around symbolically carrying their 25-pound coffee table Bible under their arm. Those are the ones who want to believe that if someone has their life together, then that person is part of the whoever club. They want to believe that if someone wears the right church clothes, they are part of the whoever club. They want to believe that someone comes from the right family, they are part of the whoever club. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, I'm not concerned about your background because that won't hold you back from being part of the whoever. Jesus will not let whatever you and I are dealing with hold us back from being one of those whoevers. Jesus is concerned about our beliefs. Too many people try to put qualifiers on this text by talking about behaviors. But Jesus is not talking about behaviors in this text. He's talking about beliefs. Because Jesus understands us, all of us could have some messed up or jacked up behaviors in our life from time to time. Amen? Excuse my bluntness, but this is how I preach, very blunt. And I believe in being hot, humble, open, and transparent. The Kaya people know what that is. Jesus understands that what wise parents figure out, and that is that you have to solidify a person's belief before you can modify a person's behavior. You have to solidify a person's belief before you can modify a person's behavior. Tweak that out too. It's not about behavior modification first. It's first about whether or not one believes that the Lord can change things in his or her life. Because some of us in here can testify, I know I can, that when in our past we put our faith and our belief and our trust in God, we saw how our lives began to transform for his glory. Some of us are witnesses that transformation is an inside job. The old song says, Lord, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. But when God is through with me, I will come forth as pure gold. So next time that you read John 3:16, don't just read it and move on from there. Read it with the realization that God's love is impressive and inclusive. Read it understanding that God's love is expressive and exclusive. And read it and understand that God's love is comprehensive and conclusive. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you for the love that you have shown and expressed to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, amen.